turn in our hymn books. Hymn number 170, as we continue worshiping the Lord, praising Him for His goodness. 170, Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One. Number 170. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. If you're physically able to, stand with us. If you're not physically able to, you can stay seated. 170.
Saved by the blood of the crucified one.
First this morning to praise the Lord for Jesus and His shed blood on the cross. What are you thankful for about Jesus and His shed blood on the cross? Something specific about Jesus and His shed blood on the cross. Jimmy?
I'm glad that God has put His healing hand on Keith, one of my staff, and he's now at home.
Amen. Amen. Jesus is our great physician. Yes.
He sent our body on earth here so we will live for God, but our souls will be eternally in heaven. So
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Anyone else? What are you thankful for about Jesus and His death on the cross for you and shed blood for you? James?
Every morning He wakes us up and saves us.
Amen. Well, every morning He wakes up and keeps us saved.
Every
right?
Day.
He keeps us saved. We only have to get saved once. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Thank God for being here. I thank God for these people here. And I wish everybody a nice Easter. But you know, He didn't do this. God died on the cross for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, God let me be a usher doing the, like you say, you need ushers, so I say I help out.
Amen, amen. All right, let's sing that third verse.
Save by the blood of the crucified one, the Father He's taken His will it was done. Great price of my pardon His own precious Son.
Yeah.
With these are like precious faith. What a joy it is, and what a gift it is, and what a privilege it is to be in the house of worship this morning. We thank you, Father, for keeping us through last night, for waking us up this morning. We thank you for our nation, for our leaders and authority. We thank you for the nation of Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Very especially this week as the election is being held in Jerusalem, Father, in Israel for the election of the prime minister. We pray that the one who will get elected will be the one that you will have in place there, Lord, to lead that nation. We just pray for all that, one that you may have free a minute there, and that all things work together for your good. Thank you for these are here this morning. We thank you and praise you for each one that took time out this morning to decide that they would come to the house of the worship, Lord. And we thank you for that. Pray that you might bless them and be with them and guide them and keep them. For those unable to be here, Lord, for whatever reason, we pray for them, Lord. We just pray that you might be with them also, Lord, and that you might lift them up. We pray for the missionaries that it's your support, Lord, and we pray that we'll be able to support them even more in the coming weeks and coming months, coming years, Lord. We pray for the preaching of the gospel throughout all the world, Lord, and we know that you said when this gospel is here in all the world, then the end would come, Lord. And we wait that you're not slack toward your coming, but you're not willing that any should perish, but all would come into the knowledge and saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord. Amen. We thank you for each and every one here, Lord. We pray that they're enjoying their walk with the Lord, Lord, and that each day that they would come to church, Lord, they will thank God that they get to come to church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. In Jesus' name we pray all this day. Continue to have your way in our heart and our life. We'll continue to give you the glory, the praise, and honor. For it all belongs to you, and all people say it.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn back to our hymn book, hymn number 796. 796. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, number 796. 796. Sins. When was that you were saved? Who'd like to share that for us? Trisha.
Praise the Lord. I was 19 years old and had been doing a lot of searching and a lot of the things going on in the 70s, but I praise God that he was able to forgive me. He was able to give me the gift of salvation.
Amen.
His word opened up just my heart and my mind to understand that his word is truth. It's not to be found in any religion which is where I was seeking. And yet I found truth in his word. I praise God that he did save me on August 18th, 1974.
Amen. Amen. Who else? When, how and when were you saved, Joe?
It was either January 7th or January 10th. I'm honestly not sure which day, but it was 2010. And I was raised Catholic, and I didn't agree with it anymore. It doesn't follow the book.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So it wasn't the way for me. So I was saved once again.
Amen. 2010. Wonderful. Anyone else? When were you saved by the Lord Jesus? Essie.
I was saved in 1997.
Wonderful.
Atlantic City. Wonderful. I got baptized at Mount Zion Baptist Church. And when I was down in the water, I thought God would put me down the water and brought me back up.
Okay.
And I was saved.
Okay, well, you were saved before that when you trusted Christ as your Savior.
Yes.
And then your baptism was as a profession of your faith, that you were now telling all the world that you were a child of God.
Yes,
yep. Yes. Amen. And all right, Nicole.
It was about May of 2000 when my son was 6 months old.
Wonderful.
My oldest son is 6 months old. And I just remember that it was so hard to believe that something so easy, like to believe in Jesus, that he died for your sins, and it was incredible.
Amen. Amen. It's such a simple truth. To repent of your sins and just believe on Jesus as your Savior. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. But yet, how many people, their pride keeps them from it, or anything else? You know, all of us, if we had to wrestle with God for a while before God finally won and we said yes to him. So it's a battle of the will for God, against God. The devil is trying to keep people blinded in their sins. Let us sing that last verse. Let's have the ladies start it. They'll go through the first two lines, and then the men the second two lines. Ladies up to shore, and men up to, ladies up to hear, sublime, and men to receive. Okay, let's give it a try. Ladies, now I'm up. Bibles for our scripture reading time. I ask Brother John to come and read for us the next portion, Psalm 68, 1 to 10. Psalm 68, 1 to 10. Psalm 68. We'll read this responsibly. I still hear some pages turning, so give them a few seconds. Alright. To the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him.
He is driven away, so drive them away, as wax melteth before the fire. So let the wicked perish, at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice.
Sing unto God. Sing his praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Yahweh, and rejoice before him.
A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation.
God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land.
O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah.
The earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel.
Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. You want to turn over to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 22 through 25. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck, and shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked, when it cometh. May God bless the reading of this word. Pastor Rice?
Amen. We want to direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need a bulletin? We'll be happy to get one to you. Keep your hand up and we'll get a bulletin to you if you need one. It says Revelation 1:7, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Beautiful picture of the clouds. How many have ever been up in an airplane riding in the clouds there? Okay. Very beautiful. We won't have any fear of heights when Jesus calls all Christians to go up with him. Our fear of heights will all of a sudden be gone as we go and meet him in the air and go up to heaven. What a wonderful day that'll be. It's good to have each one of you here with us. Good to have Alencia back with us. How you doing, Alencia? Getting taller each time. What grade are you in now? Sixth grade? All right. So good to have Alencia here with us this morning. She got saved here a few years ago. So we're glad to have her. And that's Chris's niece. And it's good to have Deborah and the girls back with us. Welcome Mia, Chloe, and Zoe. Welcome back. And we are glad that you are here. And we're excited. And just by way of announcements, we want to direct your attention to the bulletin. On the left-hand page, let us say our April memory verse, reference, verse, and then reference. It's most of the way down on the left-hand page. Does anyone need a bulletin? Raise your hand. One of the ushers will get you one. Okay? So let's say it together. Psalms 85:6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Psalms 85:6. And that's a good verse for this month as we think on what happened with the revival meetings and how God stirred our hearts in certain areas. And let's keep that work going in our lives. Let's let God do his work by confessing, forsaking sin, going forward for God, telling people about Jesus, giving in the tithes and offerings, giving to telling people about Jesus. So let's keep that work going in our lives. Pray especially for Brittany. She has a Brittany Donahoe. She has a blood clot in her, she had a blood clot in her brain, and that as a result they had to take a piece of her skull out to remove that blood clot. Then when they put the piece back in, a couple days later, pressure had built up, so they had to take it back out permanently. And they're going to put a piece of plastic over her skull. She was unconscious, so pray for Brittany. Pray for John Donahoe, her dad, and pray for his salvation. He wasn't ready as of the revival meetings when we witnessed to him to get saved, but he called me last night and was crying and asked me to pray. So let's all pray for him and for Brittany, his daughter. She was saved here at our church. She's only about 32 years old or 30. So let's pray for her. Then also, praise the Lord for this week, 6 professions of faith at the Good News Club. And we praise the Lord for that good, the good things that went on there this Thursday. Pat, do you want to share a little bit about the Good News Club on Thursday? Amen. Amen. There was a lot of new kids. There was, I think, 16 total kids. Is that how many? Yes, 16. And a lot of new kids. And so pray for these ones that have made professions. They're excited about next week. So let's pray they all come back and pray. And we also gave them invitations for the Easter program and the gospel egg hunt. So pray for these two upcoming events as well. We have flyers on the back table for the gospel egg hunt. So Saturday morning at 10 a.m. we'll start our start meeting in here, and we do need hiders. Okay, Messiah has flyers. So if you need a flyer to give to your family, raise your hand. We'll get one of the gospel egg hunt flyers to you. If you'd like to invite your family, your friends, or the kids in the neighborhood, just keep your hand up, and Messiah will get some to you. All right, so we need hiders. If you can come at 9:30, who can come a little early, help us hide the eggs? Okay. We need teens or adults, okay, who can help us come a little early to hide them in special spots, okay? And we could have kids help with it, and then, you'll just be later on. To go out. You want to help? Okay, good. Okay. All right, you want to help? Okay, great. We'll have the sixth graders give us a hand. That'd be good. A good way to hide 6th and 7th and 8th and 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders. Hide them as hard as you can, but you're going to have a lot. Some of them are going to be really easy for the younger kids. And so that's in 2 weeks, Saturday, April 20th. Then April 21st, we have our Easter drama and music program. Goes through the gospel, helps unsaved people to see what Jesus went through for them. So hand out these flyers as well to people that you know. Then just by way of other announcements, today is Communion Sunday. We are going out soul winning this Tuesday at 10 a.m. If you can go with me, let me know so that we can go and follow up some of these ones that we have followed. We had a good time last Tuesday at 10 a.m. And Dawn, do you want to share about last Tuesday at 10 a.m., how our soul winning went with that?
I really believe it went really well, but it was definitely interesting, probably one of my most interesting ones. This guy was a hunter, and it was just definitely interesting.
Looked like a boar, but it wasn't a boar.
Like a boar, but he said it wasn't even part of the pig family. It was interesting anyway. It was very, you never know who you're going to run into.
Yes.
And it was a blessing.
Amen.
He did say he'd come today, but maybe next
time. Yes. Let's keep praying for this gentleman. And as we go door to door, we meet a lot of different people, and they all need the Lord. You know, anyone without Christ is the right candidate to hear the gospel. And if they're Christians, they tell us right away, oh, I'm already saved. And so we're able to encourage them and give them encouragement, and they give us encouragement. So it's a great work. So come on out this Tuesday, 10 a.m., so we help people come to Jesus. Then come on back tonight for the message entitled The Cost of Discipleship and Growing in the Lord, how to grow in the Lord and how to help others grow in the Lord. This Thursday, we will be going back to the Good News Club, and then we're off for a few weeks, couple weeks, for spring break, and then Easter that the kids have off for. Then, starting in May again. Then our, on the back page, if any ladies are interested in going to the ladies' retreats, please see my wife, see Carrie Rice, and she can help get you more info on that. That is this Friday and Saturday. Then our first quarter church business meeting is in 3 weeks from today. Bring a crock pot item or a food item, and if you're a member, and stay with us, and that way we can eat and then do business in God's church, and let us pray for this meeting. Then our Teen Talents for Christ. We changed Springfest to Teen Talents for Christ, and this helps the teens realize it's not just a fun day, but it's also a day where they can cultivate their talents for God. I got the idea from the regionals competition. So now we're going to invite all the 5th through 12th graders to either the men to preach 5 to 7 minute message, and we can help you prepare for that, or the ladies to teach a Bible story. And we'll separate them. The ladies will go with the ladies. The men will go with the young men. And it'll be a nice time to help them cultivate their talents during the preaching sessions, as well as having Olympic competition, you know, as they have fun activities during the day. So that starts at 10 a.m. and is done at 4. Bring $5 for lunch. It's going to be a great time. Now, you don't have to do one of those things if you come, but we encourage you to do one of those things. So that's an encouragement. Are there any other announcements that need to be mentioned this morning? Any other announcements? All right, this time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord this morning of our tithes and offerings to God. God says he will provide, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for the day of the mighty and bountiful Savior, Lord Jesus, my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Turn back to our hymn book. One last song before our special music and our puppet show this morning. 510 in the Majesty hymn book. 510 in the Majesty hymn book. The red hymn book there in front of you. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. We'll sing it through two times.
Walk worthy of the Lord.
seated. This time we'll have Sister Maria come for special music and the puppeteers to go back for their special the time.
This song is my song I wrote, and I think it's good to walk it to Jesus, so that's why I'm saying the name of the song is Walk It to Jesus. There is a final wall where I'll be waiting, my Lord. I walk with you, Jesus.
And my name is Smiley.
And we're doing How to Have a Happy Family.
Uh-oh, that sounds like Matilda crying.
Matilda, what's the matter?
Oh, that sister of mine, she makes me so mad.
Why? Ellie's so nice and quiet, she wouldn't make anybody mad.
That's pretty mad. I'd be hard on your teeth, though. What'd Ellie do?
Oh, she's a mess. She uses my pencil butts and sharpens them. She borrows my skips and leaves them on the back porch. And just now, she ate all the handy that Aunt Kitty gave me.
Boy, she is a mess.
I wish I could make her quit doing things like that. But the more I yell at her and ball her up, the worse she gets.
Let's see. You yell at her and bawl her out?
Uh-huh.
And she gets worse?
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe you're going about it in the wrong way.
The wrong way? What else can I do? I can't hit her. Mom won't let me.
I know a good Bible verse that says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity." It's found in Psalms 133, verse 1.
It says brethren, but that means brothers.
Oh, Matilda, you know it means sisters, too.
It would be nice to live together in peace, though I guess that's what unity means.
It sure would. I wonder how you could do it.
I don't know. I thought and thought about it, but the more I think about it, the madder I get.
Well, it's pretty obvious getting mad doesn't help.
Not a bit.
Well, it's logical. You have to do something else.
Like what?
Have you ever tried not getting mad?
Not getting mad? How do you not get mad when something just about automatically makes you mad?
Well, I guess maybe you'd better ask God to help you if you can't do it yourself.
Well, I haven't tried that. Do you think it would work?
It sure wouldn't hurt to try.
Okay, I'll pray right now. You pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive me for getting mad at Ellie. I know there'll never be any peace in her house as long as I keep losing my temper. So first, I'd like to ask you to forgive me. And then, I'd like to ask you to help me not to get so mad next time Ellie messes up anything that's mine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That ought to help you if you really meant it. But don't forget, you've got to do your part too. Just remember what you pray. Let Jesus help you.
I will. I really will. I just hate having all this fighting going on in our house. And I think that if I stop yelling and getting mad at myself, everything will get better for everybody.
Good for you, Matilda. Maybe I'll come over and see you sometime if things sort of straighten up over there. Bye.
Bye, Mortimer. And thanks.
We're not finished yet.
Later next week.
I wonder how Matilda and Ellie are getting along. Matilda should know by now if not getting mad helps things keep her family in peace. Here she comes now.
Oh, Maya, I'm so happy to see you.
You are? Why?
I got so much to tell you. It worked. It really worked.
What worked?
Not getting mad.
Hey, that's great.
You can do that again. Our house is so different from when I was getting mad.
Why? What happened?
Well, you and I prayed I wouldn't lose my temper last week. Remember?
Sure.
Well, it wasn't easy, but every time I felt like I was going to get mad, I just prayed and asked God to help me.
And did he?
He sure did.
To whom?
To Allie, mostly. She's the one who always bugged me the most. Anyway, when she got ink on my new dress, instead of getting mad, I just told her I knew that she didn't mean to do it.
No, what?
She started crying. She cried and cried until Mom came to see what happened and what was the matter. Mom thought I'd hit her, but when Ellie told her what was wrong, Mom just kissed the both of us and said she tried to get the ink out of my dress.
And could she?
She sure did.
Boy, that did work out a lot better when you got mad at things, didn't it?
And that's not the only time either. Do you know what?
What?
Ellie is not bugging me nearly as much now. I don't know what's happened.
I don't either, but that verse in Psalms is really true, isn't it?
Yes, I memorized it. Behold, how good and things for brethren to dwell together in unity. Psalms 133, verse 1.
Yeah, I guess God really knows what he's talking about, doesn't he? Bye!
All right, wonderful. Give me a hand, gentlemen. We can put this back. So we'll dismiss the youth church to go for their special time with Mrs. Slepidus and toddler church at nursery. Doesn't mean wild time, okay? Calm down. Those sixth grade and younger are welcome to go for a junior church. The rest of us, let's turn our Bibles as we look into the Word of God this morning. So that really does work. How good and how pleasant, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That it does work. Every time you sense yourself getting mad at someone in your house or someone that you're not getting along with, just pray and ask God for help and read his word, and you will see that you will get mad less and less and less, and the anger, the temper out of control will turn into calm, peace and calm, and it won't bother you nearly like it did, because God is in the business of making happy families. Let's turn our Bibles as we look at the Word of God this morning. We're continuing our lesson on the devil and the occult. Satan's got religion too. Religion and false doctrine. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4:1. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 4:1. Satan has his own religion. Satan's religion, of course, is very wide and broad. Satan's religions compose anything, any religion or any belief that does not involve Jesus Christ as the way to heaven, as the way, the truth, and the life. Any other religion is part of Satan's religion. Satan especially loves works-based religions. That is his religion, is you have to work your way to heaven. You have to do it yourself. You have to get baptized, or you have to join the church, or you have to do something. You have to go on a mission, or you have to do the seven sacraments, or you have to do these certain things in order to get to heaven. Works-based religion the devil loves, because he keeps people in bondage to it their whole life long. He tries to keep them in bondage, but that's where the gospel sets them free. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1, let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to look into your word this morning. We pray you'd open our hearts. Speak to us. We pray that you'd fill me with thy Spirit and fill each one of us with your Holy Spirit, that we may desire to be Spirit-filled listeners and doers of the word this morning. And I pray that you would be with those that we're praying for. We pray that you'd just heal them in a mighty way. And we pray you'd bless now this time. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, let's read verses 1 through 3 together. Starting in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Okay, here we see false doctrine has became evident early in the New Testament era. As the first century drew nearer to a close, The apostles repeatedly warned believers about false teachers. Paul wrote to both Timothy and the Corinthians about this vital issue. He pointed out to them that false doctrine ultimately has an evil, supernatural source. Okay, so here we see the 1 Timothy 4:1, it says that some shall depart from the faith in the latter times. What is the latter times? The latter times is the time period of the New Testament church age. How long have we been in the church age? We're not in the law, the dispensation of law anymore, with the law of Moses and keeping all the commandments relating to the Jewish people. Why? Because Jesus, when he died on the cross, says the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. So now we can go directly into the Holy of Holies in the temple without a veil. Why? Because Jesus is our way in. His blood that was shed on Calvary is our way into the temple, into the Holy of Holies. Now we can come directly into the presence of God through whom? In prayer. How do we always pray at the end of the prayer? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we go through Jesus praying to God the Father, okay? And we pray in the Holy Spirit, okay? So all three persons of the Trinity are involved in prayer, okay? So remember that, you know, you're praying to God the Father through Jesus the Son in the Holy Spirit, okay? So that's the scriptural part of it. And so here we see, so right as Paul and Peter and John, as they were getting older, they saw immediately false teachers were trying to come in to their churches that they had planted and started and were growing, and they saw false teachers trying to steal people away or trying to hijack the church and take over the church with their false teachings. Why? Because the devil hates sound doctrine. The devil hates the Bible. You know the Bible is the most attacked book in the history of mankind? No other book has been so venomously attacked and tried to be put out of existence. During the Spanish Inquisition, they burned the Bible, and they burned Christian born-again Christians who claimed Jesus by grace through faith, that the Roman Catholic Church at the time would literally put them on trial and say, why are you not taking the sacraments? Why are you not praying to Mary? Why are you baptizing people in the water? This is expressly forbidden to do this anything apart from our church. And they would literally put people on trial and to make them recant. And the true believers would not recant. They would say, I am going to stand steadfast in Jesus Christ, my Savior. And they would go to death. As a result of this, that was the Spanish Inquisition. Then during the medieval times, they did the same thing all over Europe, all over the known world. They would put believers to death for their faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible, then they would take the Bibles that they would handwrite and copy and try to hide. They would burn them. They would collect them all. There's a story of one cardinal who said who got a large sum of money. He got something like 500 pounds, and so he would actually pay a man who he thought was one of his own. You know, he'd pay this man for every Bible. He'd pay him a 15 shillings or 20, whatever the currency was, and that man would then give him one of the Bibles, but then he would use that same money to go and have three more written. it would cost that much money to get three more done. So he'd take it, and he'd give him one, and he'd have three more done. Right on the other hand, this cardinal thought he was helping get rid of the Bible. So every Bible they burned, three more were coming out of the fire. And that's just one instance of the many instances all through the known history how the Word of God, when they tried to stamp it out, it just kept growing and growing and spreading. And so Christian said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the churches. that if you want your churches to grow in a certain area, all you got to do is start persecuting Christians, and all of a sudden you'll see churches grow. We see that in China today. They're cracking down really hard now in China. As of last February, they did a law that said it's illegal to have a church that's not officially part of the government and has to be part of their church system, and they want at the beginning of the church service to sing patriotic songs to Kim Jong-un, or not Kim Jong-un, that's Vietnam, but to the Chinese president, and sing Chinese communist songs at the beginning of every church service. And if they don't do that, they literally are coming to shut churches down. And so they have shut many churches down. They burned the crosses off the top of the churches. They've literally barred the doors with a command: no one is allowed to meet here anymore. That's in China. Every week this is happening. And so what are the Chinese believers doing? Well, some of them are going to jail. But the rest of them, is it deterring them? Not at all. They're now meeting underground. They meet in apartments. They meet in rooms. They meet wherever they can, in houses. And they keep worshiping the Lord. And you know, biblical Christianity is spreading in China. Why? Because Satan is trying to stamp it out with communism and oppression and telling people, you are just a number. You don't have any freedoms. You are what we tell you you are. And people are saying, no, I have freedom because God gave it to me. And they may try to tell me I can't worship God, but I'm going to still worship God. And so that is what God put into us. He put into us the desire as believers to worship Him, and that we realize all freedom, God has given us all freedom that we have in this world. And He's the one who keeps us free. So here we see that false teachers have always been active through history. Why? Because Satan hates sound doctrine. Satan hates people turning from darkness to the light of Jesus Christ and getting saved. And so here, what are the things that are the doctrines of devils? Well, number one, we see these seducing spirits, false teachers who claim to be saved or claim to be real religious. Well, I will help you get closer to God. And they're actually nothing but demonically inspired people to do Satan's work. And so we see what is their doctrines. Number one, they are liars, speaking lies in hypocrisy. They are liars. They speak lies in hypocrisy. They say, oh, please worship God, but they really don't mean that. They mean worship themselves and worship their doctrines. They are false speakers. They are deceivers, okay? There are many people on TV that claim to be prophets of God or speakers for God, but you know what? If they're not speaking the Word of God, and if their doctrine is not constantly referenced in the Bible, if they don't have chapter and verse for all their teachings, guess what? It's not of God. They may say it's of God, but they're lying to you. We need to watch out because there are many liars, false teachers. Verse 2, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Okay, they have literally cauterized the conscience. This is a medical term. When do people need to have a wound cauterized? Can any of our nurses and our medical people help us out here? Joe? Yes. The skin literally needs to be melted around it so it can stop the bleeding. Okay? What are some other ways that now with our modern technology we can help to stop bleeding? Okay?
What if there was a robot in the hospital to actually help the patient?
Okay, all right. I'm thinking more along the line of those spray-on bandages. You ever see that? It's like a plastic. You can literally spray it on the skin, and that does a similar thing. It doesn't work quite as effectively. Only when there's bleeding that they literally cannot stop, such as a vein that they need stopped, or an artery, or if they're doing heart surgery, they will often cauterize that blood vessel. Why? To keep the person that they're working on from bleeding to death. To keep them from bleeding to death. Well, here, the agents of evil, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, God gave us a conscience to bring us to Christ. He gave us four roadblocks to keep people from hell. Every person has these four roadblocks. Number one, God gave you creation outside that you can see every day and says, whoa, there is a God, and it's a lot bigger than us. A lot bigger than mankind. Number one is creation. Number two, He gave us a conscience. Conscience tells us whether things are right or wrong. You know, you ask a child, hey, was that right that you just took that candy from your sister? No, it wasn't right. Well, who told that child it wasn't right? You know, why do they feel guilty? Well, because God gave us a conscience. Okay, well, but people can sear their conscience. Number three is God gave the Holy Spirit that's now keeping evil from spreading like wildfire and keeping it suppressed. And He's also convicting individual people, unsaved people, of their sin. And number four, He's given us the Bible. Okay, so those are the four roadblocks that God has given people to keep them out of hell. But many people, false teachers, will literally sear their conscience with a hot iron. They will say no to God so many times. They will say, no, I don't want to listen to God. No, I don't want to feel conviction anymore. No, I don't want to be sad about sin anymore. I'm just going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. They keep doing it until they sear their conscience with a hot iron. And they literally, permanently cauterize their conscience. People can get to the point where God stops dealing with them anymore. You realize that? The people can get to the point where God stops dealing with them. You say, how do you know that? Well, God says there is a sin unto death, and I do not say that any shall pray for it. Okay? That some people, they just keep sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning, willful sin, to the point where they say, you know, I don't want God in my life anymore. And then God says, okay, the Holy Spirit is, notice he's a dove. He's gentle. The Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove. Okay, what do we know about doves? Doves are do they ever hurt anybody? Do doves come and pluck, you know, and hurt, tear flesh? No, doves never hurt anybody. Doves are very gentle creatures. Doves are easily moved away, okay? Doves do not come where they're not wanted. Well, and so the Holy Spirit as a dove is working on everybody, but if people say no enough times, they can just push the Holy Spirit out of their life permanently. If they continue in their false teaching, continue in their willful disobedience, and go into false teaching, then this is how a person can sear their conscience with a hot iron. Okay, and they become a false teacher. Okay, number three, we see that they are hypocrites. Okay, it says in 1 Timothy 4:2, it says that they are hypocrites. Verse 3, forbidding to marry and to abstain from meats. The word there, forbidding to marry, they deny normal human relationships. Okay, they deny normal human relationships. They forbid to marry. Where in the Bible does it say you cannot get married? Nowhere. The Bible says the opposite. The Bible says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. The Bible says that the marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, for whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Okay, that's what God says on the topic in Proverbs. It says pastors, bishops, they are to be husbands of one wife. That's what it says in 1 Timothy 3. So does the Bible say anywhere that there's a certain class of people that shouldn't be married? No, it doesn't. It doesn't say it. And so why do religious leaders teach these things and say, oh, you should not get married. Okay? Why do they do that? Well, we see here it's one of the marks of false doctrine. Okay? It's one of the marks of false doctrine. They are perverted. Okay? We were just talking about the evangelistic meetings after one of the nights. One of the dioceses in Camden here in New Jersey, that one of our church attendees said they went to the Catholic school there in Camden, and they went down below the church. They found a tunnel that led to a room where they would lay the nuns on a table and literally perform abortion on nuns there and below the diocese there in Camden. And you say, well, what's going on there? What is that all about? Well, it's because when you forbid a certain class of people or certain people to marry, you are literally telling them to not do things that God made our bodies to do. And you're literally telling them that they are now, that they have to hide and cover and subvert and go and do things behind backs. And how sad it is that this is one of the marks of the doctrine of devils. And false doctrine is forbidding to marry. Isn't it interesting how God would literally give us the marks of the things to watch out for? Why? Because He's the one who made us. He's the one who gave us life. And now we, of course, see it out in the news of all these things coming to light from 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago. All the happenings going on in the different churches that teach you can't marry and you have to be celibate your whole life. Well, guess what? They didn't do it. They didn't stay celibate. They just kept it under wraps. And when they couldn't, When the priests couldn't get the nuns and the nuns couldn't get the priests, then they started going after children. How sad this is. Why? Because this is a doctrine of devils. Perverted doctrine of forbidding to marry. Okay? So this is something we need to keep in our memory banks to help others get out. You know, hey, they did a survey recently. How many people are staying in the Catholic Church? And, you know, with all these revelations coming to light, now there's 23% of Catholics are now questioning their faith. They're saying, wait, what's going on here? If this is the truth, if this is the true religion, why are all these, immoralities coming out so much and all these abuses and all these just horrible, horrible deeds? Well, it's because the Bible is always right. When it says here, false doctrine is forbidding to marry. Okay, number three, verse 3, and commanding to abstain from meats. Okay, another mark of false doctrine is commanding to abstain from meats. Boy, I'm glad we don't know any church or group that teaches that, right? What do you think? Are there still church groups that teach this? Okay, Seventh-day Adventists, okay. Any other groups that say you have to abstain from meat? Catholic Church. During Lent, you got to give up all meats and only eat fish on whatever. What is it? Fridays, okay? Is that in the Bible? Show me where Jesus told Peter, James, and John and the disciples that. It's not there. It's a made-up doctrine. Well, here, the Lord knew all these things that were coming down the line. He said, hey, mark these things. These are false doctrines. I didn't write 1 Timothy 4 here. I didn't put these verses in it. God put them in here for us. Okay? Verse 3, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So here God created meat, animals, and plants, and everything here on the earth to be received with thanksgiving with them that believe and know the truth.
So here, God didn't ever have to be vegetarians, or you have to just eat meats, or you have... No, he gave it to us all. And for anyone who says you to other people, you can't do this, they're literally enforcing legalism on other people and dietary laws. And that is legalists, okay? And they are... That's forbidden by God to be a legalist, okay? All right, then the next one is in verse, let's go over to 2 Corinthians 11:13. More of these false doctrines of false teachers. 2 Corinthians 11:13. Says, for such are false, let's read it together. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the angels of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Okay, so here we see that that we shouldn't be surprised when people come up with these things, because they're just following the devil in their deceitful practices. Okay, let's go to verses 3 and 4 here. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Okay, so here we see Paul was very concerned about the Corinthian believers there in Corinth, in the churches there in Corinth, because that he was concerned that they would get tricked. He was concerned that they would listen to these false teachers. Okay, so here we see they are... they are hypocrites. They are hypocrites. They are like, in Greek theater, they are denoted actors who wore masks. They are false teachers prompted by demons that they mask their true motives and teachings to snare followers. Okay? That they are hypocrites. They wear masks. Okay? They tell you to do something, but what do behind the scenes? Do the opposite, okay? They wear masks. A true preacher and teacher of the Word doesn't do that, right? True preacher and teacher of the Word says, hey, I'm going to follow the same rule that everyone else has to follow, okay? That there are no exceptions. Why? Because Satan is a master of false doctrine, and he wants to try to get people under his thumb. Okay, so we should not listen to hypocrites. Okay, and then the next point is, they are false apostles. Number 6, they are false apostles. Here we see the word apostle signifies an official representative sent with the authority of the sender. Satan's agents falsely claim they are special representatives of God speaking with divine authority, but their authority is self-appointed. Okay, here we see in verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers. They use a lure and a bait tactic. False apostles, they didn't really see the Lord.
Who did they see? Joseph Smith. He said, oh, I had a vision of an angel. Angel Moroni came to me and he told me there were golden tablets in New York. You know, God put away Israel. Now the USA is the promised land, and he told me there's golden tablets here in New York, and so I'm going to, you know, he told me to start a new religion. And he started Mormonism. You know, we laugh. We say, oh, that's funny. But sadly, the Mormons today aren't laughing. They actually believe this guy. They believe that he found some golden tablets and that there was this angel. Well, the truth is, there probably was some kind of angelic being. Probably was, but it wasn't from God. Who was it from? Satan himself. No marvel. Remember, it says here, verse 14, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. See, the devil wants to give people visions. You know, watch out. If you're looking for a vision, watch out. Don't ask for a vision. Because God says all the visions we need are right in here. Okay, if you need something apart from the Word of God, if you need a dream, if you need a vision, well, God, I don't know if what the Word of God is, what you're telling me to do in the Word of God is true, so I'm going to put my Bible down over here, and I'm going to ask for a vision or a dream to confirm what I should do next. No, don't do that, because that's how all the cults have started. You realize that? They've wanted something extra from God. The Bible was not enough for them. And their false teachers are springing up every day. There's a Baptist preacher on the internet. His name is Steven Anderson. He's getting quite a following. Why? Because he preaches hard, but he's got some weird teachings. What is he doing? He's trying to get his own cult following of people saying he's a Baptist, and he believes that we're going to go through the tribulation, and he believes that Israel is, you know, should be done away with, and that we have replaced Israel. He believes in he hates homosexuals. He says they should do themselves a favor and kill themselves. That's what this guy believes. But yet he claims to be a Baptist, a true Baptist. No, this guy is a cult leader, and he's getting his own following. And guess what his followers are following? Do you think they're all going to the Scriptures for everything? No, they're going on the internet, and whatever his YouTube preaching videos say is what they're following. So that what has replaced the Bible in their cults has become his YouTube videos of preaching. Okay? So it's always something. It's a bait and switch with cult leaders. They always want you to switch out the Bible for something else that they're going to give you. Okay? For Jehovah's Witnesses, what is it? It's the Awake magazine, you know? Well, don't read the Bible every day. You need to read our Awake magazine every day, you know, because that's the latest teaching. You know, we have to update our teachings from, you know, time to time. So, you know, if you want the updated teachings of Jehovah's Witnesses, you got to read the current Awake magazine, okay? Does God's Word and does His rules and laws and guidelines and teachings ever go out of date? No. They're never going to, don't worry, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and find something expired in the Word of God. But guess what? If you're following a cult, you may wake up tomorrow and find something expired. You will find it. Not you may, you will find it. Why? Because man cannot keep up with the world. But God knows us from beginning to end. He has put everything, it says in 1 Peter 1:3, all that pertaineth unto life and godliness is right in the Word of God. It's right in here. All that pertains unto life and godliness is right in this prophecy. We have a more sure word of prophecy, and that is this book, the Bible. And so don't let anyone take you away from the Word of God. Don't let anybody take you away. Don't let anyone say, well, you know, you got to ask for something, you know. Don't ask for a dream or a vision. Go to God's Word. You know, you'll be led astray if you ask for something outside of God's Word. He has already said everything He needs to say. It just puts, if you put God, what did Jesus say when Satan came to Him and tempted Him? saying, Jesus, don't you know that I can give you all the kingdoms of the world if you'll just worship me? And Jesus said, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then he said, well, Jesus, if you just fall down from the pinnacle of the temple, just jump down, because God will have to have his angels bear you up. Just do this and watch what your father's going to do. Yeah. Was he right? Yeah, he was right. You know, Jesus would not have gotten hurt or killed before his time. But what did Jesus say to him? He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. What do we do when we try to ask for something outside of the Word of God? We're literally tempting God. We're literally trying to test God. We're trying to say, God, I don't think that Bible's enough. I'm going to test you in some way. You know what? That's how every cult has started, because people thought they could test God and say, oh, you know, I'm not content with that old Bible. I want something new. And so this is what false apostles do. They're deceitful workers. They have been lured into the bait of false religion. They bought it hook, line, and sinker. And they are, verse 13, they are self-transformed. Verse 15, that if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of unrighteousness. Okay, as ministers of righteousness, they are transformed. They claim to have righteousness, but they don't have righteousness. They have the false teaching of unrighteousness. Okay, so we need to watch out for the agents of false doctrine and cling to the true doctrine, which is the Word of God. All 66 books of the Bible. It's interesting. I was listening to a preacher talk about Isaiah. If you go to Isaiah, let's turn over to Isaiah. How many chapters does Isaiah have? Does anyone know? Isaiah. How many chapters? 66. How many books are there in the Bible? 66. If you look at Isaiah, Isaiah is like a mini Bible. The first, how many books are in the Old Testament? 39. If you look at the first, J. Vernon McGee was teaching this. The first 39 books are chapters of Isaiah. Guess who what they deal with? They deal with the law. And then the last 27 books, there's 27 books in the New Testament, the last 27 books deal with grace that came through the Messiah. The Messiah's coming. Isaiah 53 is in that latter portion. So from 40 on, 40 to 66, all deals with the Messiah and grace and relief from captivity through the Messiah. And so we see Isaiah is like a mini Bible in a sense that covers what the Old and New Testament covers. That's just one of hundreds and thousands of proofs in the Bible that everything we need is right in the Bible. We don't need to go outside of the Bible. And so if you want to hear from God, what should we do? We need to go to the Word of God, because it is the teachings that we need. That here we see the truth of the Bible is so important. I'd like, let us close in prayer at this time, every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Rice, you know, I don't know for sure if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly. You say, Pastor, I want to be saved. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm on my way to heaven by believing on Jesus as my own personal Lord and Savior. I want to turn from my sins and believe on Jesus. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there where you're seated. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be saved. I want to know the Lord. As a Christian, you'd say, Pastor, I am already saved, but I sense that the devil's trying to get me away from my Bible.
And I don't want to listen to the false workers. I want to stick close to God in the Word of God. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there, we're saying. It's your seating. As you pray for amen, amen, amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Be reminded of the enemies that are out there, the Satan's workers. Lord, help us to cling to your truth and to love it and to read it every day and to claim its promises every day, that we'd claim at least one verse of Scripture each day to think about, meditate on as we go throughout the day, that we can rejoice in it, your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I'd like the deacons to come. At this time, as we close the service with communion, the Lord's table. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is the second of the two ordinances given to the local church. The first ordinance that Jesus gave to the local church is when he gave his Great Commission. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father." So after someone gets saved, after they come to Christ for salvation, then Jesus said to them, baptize them. And then the second ordinance that Jesus gave is here in 1 Corinthians 11 to the local church. In verse 23, it says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." So we see, first of all, what is communion all about? What is the Lord's table all about? Well, it's in remembrance of me, Jesus said. That every time we drink of that grape juice, that's a reminder that this is his blood that was shed. Every time we eat of this unleavened cracker, it's a reminder that this is a picture of Christ's body, that he was broken for us on the cross, that he literally gave himself so that we could be saved. And so God says that we need to, "Whosoever therefore shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." So we need to, when we come to the table of remembrance, we need to eat and drink worthily. We need to confess and forsake sin so that we can partake of a body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So here, God, the second part of the communion is to examine ourselves. Don't just take it because everyone else is taking it. Don't just say, "Well, you know, they're giving it out at church, so I'm going to, you know, I don't want to be look different from the crowd." No, examine yourself before God. And if there's any willful, known sin that you're letting go in your life and not giving over to God, better not to eat and drink. If you don't want to confess it and forsake it this morning, then better not to eat or drink than to say, "Oh, you know, I'm just going to eat and drink," without confessing it, forsake it. Better to do it God's way so that he doesn't have to chasten us behind the scenes. Okay, let us have a time of silent prayer.
can ask our deacons to come at this time as we thank the Lord for his broken body for us on the cross. John, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the message this morning, Lord. We ask that you help us to remember that as we look, partake of this bread that we're about to take, Lord, remember that representative of your son's broken body on the cross of Calvary, Lord. It is not to be taken with hunger in our body and hunger pains in our stomachs, Lord, to do not defile what the meaning of this is. We know that this is remembrance of him, Lord. We ask you help us throughout the week and throughout this upcoming month as we constantly remember what your son did for us on that cross. Amen. And without the shedding of his blood, as the word says, there is no remission of sins. And we know that he took upon himself the penalty of what we deserve. That's why his body was broken for us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought forth Jesus and sat down in the judgment seat in a place which is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, Behold, your king! But they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made them four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And ask our deacons to come once again as we thank the Lord for his shed blood for ours. Wellington, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled on the cross. Father, we thank you, Lord, even as we partake of this juice, it reminds us of his shed blood. May we always be grateful that through the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. May your name be glorified, even though as we partake. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. They said, therefore, among themselves, "Let us not rend his coat, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. And they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation of the Passover, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers, with a spear, pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. But after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let us all stand as we close this service. We'll close with prayer, and then we'll sing the first verse of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. And I'm going to ask Brother Hodge, would you close us in prayer? First, and then we'll sing.
Dear God, we thank you and praise you for this day, Lord, that you have given us. We thank you for a Savior. Lord, we thank you for his love that he showed to us, his disciples, and to us, and his shed blood that he shed on the cross, so that our sins can be forgiven. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word that you have written in the Bible that we can read again and again, and reminds us of the truth that is in your word. Father, bless and guide us for the rest of this day, and we give you glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Never.